1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And as I said last week, we finished up 1 Timothy. And then we're going to be having Brother Hong next Wednesday night. And then I'll be teaching probably for about a month on the subject of missions on Wednesday nights. And so I had this one Sunday night and I was praying over what to teach down through. And I was drawn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. One of the things I try to do on purpose is try to begin the year. And I think if you track this, you'd see it was true. Somewhere at the beginning of most every year since I've pastored, I like to just take time and talk about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to enter into every new year saying, you know what, Jesus very well may come this year. And I want to review that with you. I want to preach on the subject and teach down through these verses. And I'm going to call the message tonight, Reviewing Your Rapture Checklist. Reviewing Your Rapture Checklist. Let's all stand, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. We're going to talk about the subject of the rapture tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety and sudden sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Heavenly Father, thank you for these verses and for those of us that have been saved for now many years, Lord. These are familiar friends. And Lord, we've gone many times to these scriptures for comfort and encouragement. And Lord, in these dark days, the subject and the idea of your coming, Lord, it just puts within our heart a gladness and an excitement. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be ready for your coming, Lord. And if you were to come this year, if you were to come this month, Lord, if you were to come this very day, Lord, I pray that we'd be ready and I pray that we'd rejoice in it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I have to read this to you, and this has really nothing, well, it kind of has something to do with the message in a very, very small, trivial way, but it's funny, so I'm going to read it to you. I wanted to see the last time I spoke on the rapture, so I went to my Word document, and I typed in the word rapture, and then I put in their second coming, and I put anything that might draw up so that I can have my documents come up with the dates and see when I wrote what message and when I preached it, and when I typed in the word rapture, this one document came up. And at first I'm thinking, what is this? You know, there's things that have been lost in my computer that somewhere in those little microchips or whatever's in there that every once in a while find their way to the top. And it's gone now again. It may never come back, but there it was. And the name of this document, which I thought was so strange, was this: Why I Really No Longer Write for Glow in the Dark. And I thought, I didn't even remember, because for years I wrote for Glow in the Dark, the devotional. Brother Tony Brown's a good friend. And as a matter of fact, when he first started it, he called me, one of the first men he called, and said, I got an idea, and would you help me with it? And talked about the possibility of producing a teen devotional book. And in those beginning years, I wrote a lot for that. Anytime that he was short on articles, he'd call me and say, I'm 5 short. And he calls them Devos. You know, I'm 5 Devo short. And I thought, yeah, you're short a few other things too. But that's Brother Tony. Amen. What a blessing. And so sometimes there would be teen devotionals that would go out that would have 10, 11, 12 that he wrote, 10, 11, 12 that I wrote. And it's just 2 months' worth. So I did a lot of it. Well, he had an appreciation. I finally remembered where this came from once I read it. He had an appreciation banquet for all of the workers there at Lifeway that helped put out the teen devotional Glow in the Dark. And he wanted me to come and speak to them that night at the banquet. Well, I had stopped writing for Glow in the Dark. This was on in, maybe 6, 7, 8 years into it. And I'd taken a little bit of time off, just told him, I got to have a break. You know, I let me have a year off and then, you know, maybe I can do it next year. And so I hadn't been writing for a while for the Glow in the Dark. And so in typical Jerry Ross fashion, I wanted to start the banquet off with what I thought was something funny. And so I told him, maybe you, it seems odd that Brother Brown would ask me to come and speak at this banquet, because honestly, I haven't written for the Glow in the Dark for, you know, some time now. And it's not that I didn't try. It's not that I haven't been sending him devotionals. It's just that he won't publish them. And he's sitting out there looking, and the workers are looking at him. And I said, I don't know what the problem is. I think I've some of my best works and my best devotionals I've written in the last year, and he keeps editing them out, and he passes over them, and I don't know whether to keep going or not. I guess I'll get y'all's opinion. Here's the last 10 or 11 devotions that I sent to him, impacting your world through Christian tattoos. I don't know why wouldn't he publish that? And homework, the abomination of desolation, which I thought teens would get that. Multitasking, how to sell Amway while bus calling. Some of my best work, and he just, why I believe Jacksonville, Indiana is the new Jerusalem. He didn't publish that one. Here's a good one. Your sister could be the Antichrist. Now tell me that needs to be published. Amen, brother. Come on now. But he didn't use that one. Here's another one. Church camp pranks that teach Bible truths. Now, this is good stuff. And 10 things to shout during a sermon besides amen. You know, that's some of my better stuff. He didn't use any of it. Here's a good one that I thought was helpful. Depression and how to cause it. And then this one, Concordance, the most confusing book in the Bible. And he didn't use that one either. And then this one, good things to memorize out of the Book of Mormons. And then I wanted to write something for junior hires, because junior hires need encouragement. Don't worry, all junior hires are ugly. Wow, is that a little... See, now you're getting a Jerry Ross sense of humor. Now I'm getting towards the edge here. And then this one, how to make meth and why you shouldn't. And then this is why it popped up on my document. The last one was this, 10 survival tips if you don't make the rapture. And so, good stuff. People think I'm in my office wasting my time, and I'm producing documents like this on my computer. So, I think you guys appreciated it more than Brother Brown did. But anyway, so that's what popped up. Anyway. Reviewing your rapture checklist. This is not the checklist in case you don't make it. This is the checklist to make sure you're ready for it. Here's some good news, church. Watch this. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus made a promise to his disciples. Here's the promise, John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I mean, isn't that good? You say, preacher, how do you know that Jesus is going to come back one of these days? Because he promised he would. He promised he would. Now, to help us in this, and by the way, in 1 Thessalonians, aren't you glad that all scripture is given by inspiration of God? Aren't you glad that God gave us more information? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we didn't read these verses, but if you want to jump back up the page, we're given a lot more detail concerning the rapture. And there was some confusion in the church of Thessalonica. These New Testament Christians, first century Christians, they believed what Jesus said, that he was coming back. And because he didn't give a time frame, they just assumed it was going to be, you know, soon. And that's part of the fuel that ignited and drove the New Testament church. They really believed, lived every day with the expectation of Christ's return. And I think if we could put that fuel back in the tank of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, where we're looking for that blessed hope every day, it would cause us to know we don't have time to waste. We've got to be busy. And then folks begin to die there in the church, and it caused confusion. Wait a minute, I thought Jesus was going to come back. And now these folks have died, and if they've died, does that mean they're not going to be raptured? And so through inspiration of God, Paul answers their concerns. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Here's some of these sacred details. Here we go. For the Lord himself. Preacher, what's going to happen the day of the rapture? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so we're given detail. Jesus made a promise that he would come, and then the scriptures give us more detail as far as how that's going to happen on the day appointed by the Father. Jesus himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And if you're saved, you're going to hear that shout. Most people believe that based on Revelation chapter 4, what he'll shout is, come up hither. And you know what? The graves will open. Wouldn't it be neat to be standing in a cemetery the day that Jesus Christ came back? I went out and did something maybe a little strange. I've never done this before, but I went out and visited Dad's grave site, which I do from time to time. And I was messing around with my phone as I was driving. Don't do this, by the way, young people. I was messing around with my phone while I was driving. Anybody else do that sometime? Come on, tell the truth. All right. Stop it. That's not right. Don't do that. Well, I was pulling in, and I was kind of messing around. And I had been listening to some messages. I can get our website on my phone, so sometimes I'll click it on. And Brother Klein, by the way, has been slowly putting a lot of Dad's sermons onto our website. And so you can get back now and listen to a lot of Dad's messages. Well, I'd been listening to one, and I had it playing. And I started to turn it off, and then I pulled up in front of his gravestone, and he's preaching. And it's on my phone. So I sat there for a while. It's kind of cold, so I'm sitting in the truck for a while. Then I get out, and I got over, and I'm walking with this in my hand. And I set it on top of his gravestone, and I'm just sitting there looking at this, and I'm like, this is kind of surreal, really. I'm there visiting my dad's, you know, the place where he's buried, and I'm listening to him preach. And I'll be honest with you, it just kind of gave me chills. But there's going to be a day, folks, where he's going to speak again. And by the way, there's going to be a day when all of your saved loved ones will speak once again. And you know what? That one that you miss the very most, and you say, preacher, oh, just to have 5 seconds or 10 seconds to hug their neck, there'll be a day. There'll be a day in glory where we're going to have a glad reunion day. And so Jesus is coming back. Take heart in that, church. Take heart in it. Now, preacher, you said something about a checklist. Well, we always want to make sure that we're ready. If you're going to go on a trip, most of us go through either a mental or sometime an actual checklist. We were getting ready to leave town Monday evening to drive down and then spend Tuesday and part of today and then drive back. And so I have gone on the road enough where I kind of go through this little mental checklist as I'm packing. And so, you know, you want to make sure that if you're going on a trip, you have everything that you need on the trip. And there is a trip checklist for the rapture that I think is given to us in chapter number 5. First of all, check your conversion. Check your conversion. As we're talking about the subject of the rapture, preacher, am I ready for that trip? Well, check your conversion. Are you sure that you're saved? Do you know that you're born again? Say, preacher, why would that be a concern? I mean, this is Wednesday night, and a Wednesday night Bible study, and this isn't Sunday morning where lost folks tend to visit the church. Maybe a better chance for lost people to visit the church. Why bring this up on a night where pretty much it's going to be the faithful? I'll tell you why. Because of what's written in Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many. Boy, what a word. I never can read this without many. Well, it's heartbreaking to me. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and thy name hath done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Young people, adults, everybody listen to me. You know what? This is for the pulpit as well as the pew. I don't spend time, purposely try not to spend time, in the business of trying to get lost people to doubt their salvation. That's a terrible thing to do. But I've often said this. If you don't have a salvation experience that can hold up to a holy Bible, Holy Spirit examination, then you better get one. Because this is nothing to mess around with. Make sure that you know that you're saved. I've got illustrations written down here that I could take the time to give, but I have literally, and I won't go into all of the details tonight, I have literally seen preachers that had pastored churches for some time realize that they'd never truly been saved and gotten saved. Pastors' wives, I dealt with one here personally, right here locally, that called, and I dealt with her and her husband, and here she'd been serving the Lord for many years, unsaved. I preached in Pennsylvania, had a youth pastor's wife break through before the sermon was over, come stumbling to the front, begin to weep on the altar. And I thought, well, she's got a heartache or there's something wrong. And under Holy Spirit conviction, pastor's wife, not saved. Now, folks, if a preacher can get deceived, preacher's wife can get deceived, youth pastor. I'm talking about sincere people that grew up in Bible preaching, gospel preaching churches. Maybe we all ought to just say, you know what, let's go back and find that time on the timeline that preacher you talk about. The timeline of your life, you need to go backwards in your memory and make sure there's a day that you fell under Holy Spirit conviction of your sin and that you realized that Jesus Christ was God and you felt the drawing of the Father and that you understood the gospel that Jesus died for your sins, was buried and rose again, and that you that day, by faith, trusted Jesus and called upon him as your personal Savior. And again, folks, I'm not trying to get you to doubt that. If you've got that, praise God. You know what? All I did right now is just strengthen that in your life. But if you don't have that, one of these days, the trumpet is going to sound. And you don't want to be here, folks. You don't want to miss heaven. You don't want to have to go to hell. And you sure don't want to be here during the 7 years of great tribulation. And so number one, if you're ready for a trip, check the checklist. So number one, check your conversion. Number two, check for compromise. We're going into a brand new year. Preacher, I know that I'm saved, so I'm ready for the rapture. Are you really ready for the rapture? Notice what it says in verse number 4 and 5, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. And I say this often, folks, but listen to me. If there's ever a time that there ought to be no doubt in anybody's mind where we stand and who we are, as far as being born again Christians, it ought to be in this day and age. I love what the Bible says here. Ye are the children of light. Folks, there's the children of light, there's the children of darkness. And you know what? The children of light are not supposed to look like the children of darkness, are not supposed to act like the children of darkness, are not supposed to talk like the children of darkness. And what they're saying, what the Bible's teaching us here is, hey, why is God bringing this up in this portion of Scripture? Because he wants us to understand that as the day approaches, it's important that we're shining brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hide it under a bushel. Oh, no, I'm going to let it shine. If you're not careful, there's probably not been a one of us in our Christian lives that haven't from time to time, when we had an opportunity to shine, we just kind of dipped our sails. Come on now. Come on. We got a little cowardly and we went into compromise, a little peer pressure. Next thing you know, instead of shining bright, we just kind of took our light and put it under a bushel. Oh, folks, listen, in 2015, you know what? Let's shine bright for the Lord Jesus Christ. One man asked me one time, he said, preacher, how much different from the world do you think we're supposed to be? And you know what my answer was? I told him we are to be as different as light is from darkness. You know what, folks, young people, listen to me. You need to ignore the allure of this world, okay? Listen, don't see how close to the edge you can get. Don't get caught up in worldliness. Stay away from all of that junk because you know what? Jesus is going to come back one of these days and you do not want him when he comes back to find you ashamed. because you're not shining brightly in this present darkness. I tell the story from time to time about two little boys that used to be on my bus route in Chicago, Jesse and Sammy, two brothers and good boys, saved boys. I believe both of them received Jesus as their Savior, but street kids, lived with a mama, just a single mother home, and then a little dinky apartment, and just poor, I mean just poor, didn't have hardly anything. And they would always tell me, they loved church, and they loved Saturdays, and they loved Sundays. And when I would come on Sunday morning, they would just tell me every day on Saturday, they'd make me promise, you're going to come to our house first. And what I would do is I'd go to their house, and they'd always be asleep. Mama never got them up. And then I'd knock on the door, and one of them would come to the door, and they'd say, wait, don't leave. Because the first thing I did was go around and do what I called wake-ups. Because I knew this, a lot of the kids just were not, their moms were not going to get them up. So I went through my route and knocked on kids' doors to wake them up and tell them, hey, bus is going to be here in 30 minutes. Got to get ready. And of course, we could do that in city where you're talking about 4x4 blocks, where it would be a little difficult for us that are, some of you are traveling, you know, scores of miles. And so, but we could do that. And they always wanted to go with me on wake-ups. And I don't know if they just liked irritating people, waking people up, I don't know, but they wanted to hang out. And so I'd knock on their door first, and they'd, wait, don't leave. I said, I'm not going to leave. And boy, they'd race, and I mean just throw clothes on and come busting out the door, sleepy on their hair, sticking at my hand, and let's go. And I don't know if it was time for spin with Brother Jerry, or it was the fact that after I got done with wake-ups, I always took them by the little pastry shop and got them something. Maybe that was more than spending time with me, but either way, we got to hang out a little while. And like I said, good boys, but in really an unfortunate situation. And then there was a day that it wasn't Saturday and it wasn't Sunday, and I was going up to Chicago on a Thursday, and I had an appointment. And then after the appointment, I was going to go over and go to where I worked at United Parcel Service. Well, the appointment wasn't as long as I thought it would be. I allowed quite a bit of time. I was done. I had about 2 hours before I had to be at work, and I thought to myself, you know what? I never go by and see the kids except on Saturday and Sunday, so I'll swing by. I've got a couple hours. I might as well make some visits. And so I headed over to the street, and I parked near where Jesse and Sammy lived. And I got out of my vehicle, and I was probably about a half block from their house. And man alive, I heard some boys that were screaming and fighting and cussing. I mean cussing up a storm. And a bunch of boys in a vacant lot were playing soccer, and they had gotten into a little spat, and boy, they were just, I mean, it was full on. And I thought I recognized a couple of those voices. And they weren't singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. They were the ones doing the cussing. And so I walked down the street a little ways, and I stuck my head around the corner, and then I stepped out, and I'm watching all this commotion. Boy, all of them in there wrestling around and shoving and threatening, cussing each other. And the oldest boy, Jesse, looked over at me, and all of a sudden he saw Brother Jerry. And he got the most terrified. I mean, his eyes got wide. And I'll never forget what he said. He looked at me and he said, Brother Jerry, you're not supposed to be here. It's not Saturday. And I've never forgotten that. And if we're not careful, folks, Jesus is going to come one of these days, and there's going to be some Christians say, oh, not today, Lord, not today. You know what this truth helps us with? You know what this checklist helps us with? It helps us with this. I want to be ready every single day for Jesus to come back. This, by the way, this will help you in your Christian life. It'll help you in your Christian life. You're tempted to do something you shouldn't do. You ought to stop and think, well, what if in the middle of doing that, Jesus comes back? If you're tempted going someplace you shouldn't go, no Christian has any business going there, and you go anyway, what if Jesus comes back and he finds you there? And you were to be ashamed of his coming. I don't want to be ashamed of his coming. And so just look in your life and say, have I compromised? Do I most resemble light? Do I most resemble right? Or have I slid over here where the darkness is and I've let my light sputter out and go dim? And folks, I think it 2015 is just a good time to do some old-fashioned house cleaning in our hearts and get things right between us and the Lord and confess the sin and drop some bad habits and start shining again for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about readying for a trip. We're talking about going through a checklist here. Number one, check your conversion. Number two, check for compromise. And then this last thought, verse 6 through 8, check your consciousness. Your consciousness. Notice what it begins to talk about in verse number 6. Therefore, let us not what? Sleep. Boy. Well, we were talking about the idea of children of light coming over here into the darkness, but now all of a sudden the idea of slumber, of sleeping, is brought up here. And the Bible goes on to say, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that, here it is again, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. I'm going to have you go over there to Matthew chapter number 25. And I want to read this parable. And of course, this is one of the great rapture parables, second coming parables in Matthew chapter number 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. And in Matthew chapter number 25, if you'll go there, Jesus teaches a parable concerning and warning about the idea of being ready, once again, ready for Christ's return. And so in Matthew 25, verse 1, we read, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. And again, a picture of people that looked the part and looked like those that were ready. But you know what? They did not have the oil representing the Holy Spirit of God. They did not have a true heart conversion, true salvation. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And so at least 5 were wise, but 5 were foolish. But verse number 5 to me is one of the most discouraging verses in all of the Bible. And I think one of the most convicting of all the verses on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while the bridegroom tarried, they what? All slumbered and slept. And I want you to understand this. Even those that were ready for Jesus coming as far as saved were asleep when the trumpet sounded. When the midnight cry came, they were sleeping. They were sleeping. That's why Paul wrote in Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Wait a minute. Are these verses written for lost people? No, the book of Romans was written for to save people. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe. I believe we must make sure that we're ready for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to make sure that that the devil hasn't lulled us asleep. He wrote to the Corinthians and commanded them, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You know what the devil's doing? He's putting Christians asleep. And because we're sleeping, you know what? You know what the shameful thing is? There's people around us that could and would get saved, but we're sleeping. We're asleep spiritually. We're asleep to the great commission. We've fallen asleep as far as our responsibilities to get the gospel. Preacher, you're going to introduce in the next month some new soul winning opportunities and visitation opportunities. Yes, and you know what? Would to God every Christian at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, every member, would answer honestly this question when it comes to evangelism. Have I fallen asleep? Have I fallen asleep? And then God used Paul to write to the Ephesians. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. What he's saying, preacher? I'm saying this. If we're not careful, we may be saved, but we may have slid into compromise. We may be saved, but we may have fallen asleep concerning our responsibility to spread the gospel to a lost and dying world. Here we are at the beginning of 2015, and we have an opportunity to approach this great subject of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, there may be a trip this year. Yeah, there may be an unexpected trip, and it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. Are you ready? Church, tonight, let's check our conversion. Let's check for compromise. Let's check to make sure that we're awake and ready and busy for the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity just to be able to speak, Lord, on these verses, to pull out some precious gems, dear God. Lord, as we hear are in the beginning days, dear God, of a brand new year. We want to be ready. We want to be ready for your coming. And Lord, we want to go down through the verses and let them speak to our heart. Lord, I pray as we conclude this message, prepare for an invitation. I pray if there's someone here that's not 100% sure that if they died right now, they'd go to heaven. Lord, that they'd settle that tonight. They'd get it settled, Lord. Bring great conviction upon their heart, Lord. Father, faithfully draw them. Lord, help them to understand how much you love them. And all that has been done to purchase, Lord, them and to forgive their sins and pay the price of their sins. All that was done on Calvary's cross. I pray that, Lord, there be one, two, three, who knows, that would settle this thing tonight and be saved. Lord, I also pray, dear God, that you'd help us. Lord, it's easy for us just to slip quietly without even sometimes meaning to, dear God, over the course of a year, just to take some steps backwards when it comes to our separation, take some step backwards when it comes to our standards. And Lord, pretty soon we look as much like the world as the world looks. We talk as much like the world as the world talks. And Lord, how easy it is sometimes to fall into compromise. Convict us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to wake up. Help us to see a lost and dying world all around us and to want to do something about it. Bless the invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.